Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Title Pending. This episode has been a long time coming, and as I'm sure you can hear from the Dungeons & Dragons tavern music in the background, we are finally doing it. The Dungeons & Dragons episode has been months in the making, and I'm just excited to get it over with. I'm nervous because I don't want it to flop after all this time of hyping it up and all of that, but I am here. I come to you. I'm Charlie, of course. I come to you as the dungeon master, the lord of the game. So I will not be a character in this story. I have created the world and everything that is in it. I am joined by my two, I don't even know what to call you. You guys are like PCs. You're not NPCs. You're playable characters. I'm here with Danielle. Danielle, what's your character name? Not the story, just the name.
Lord Salami.
And then I'm also here with Carly. Carly, you are?
I am Fox with three X's.
Okay. So, obviously, for anyone who hasn't played Dungeons & Dragons, or I guess for anyone who has played Dungeons & Dragons, this is going to be a very bastardized version of it. We're not going to be doing literally everything, and it will probably last one episode, or it will last one episode. If it's fun, maybe we'll do it again. If it's not, never, you'll never see it again. But it's something that seemed like fun to try. But when we were creating the characters, I had one rule when I convinced Carly and Danielle to do this, and that rule was just if you go in like thinking that it's going to be stupid and making fun of it, it's going to be stupid and it's not going to be fun. If you go in with an open mind and make the most of it, it's going to be great, right? So with that being said, both of my playable characters here have created backstories and enemies and friends and allies for their characters. So which one of you would like to start off with your backstories?
Me.
Carly, or shall I say yes. Fox, please take it away.
Fox, all right. So at a very young age, poverty forced me into a life of sex work. I became friends with a pimp that promised that he would look after me. Spoiler, he did not. I started working as a dominatrix for a few small clients. However, as his pimp empire continued to grow, he became more and more controlling. It got to the point where me and the other girls were not able to do anything other than what we were told. The girls all wanted to do something about this, but no one knew what to do. I decided to take matters into my own hands. And I snuck into his room and slit his throat in his sleep. I was able to use the riches from him, and I purchased freedom for all of my fellow girls. From then on, I devoted my life to crime, obviously. Robbing anybody I could find, I used my skills from my past life to help betray and steal from everyone I met. One day, I received a secret tip that a high-value target would be arriving at the train station. I decided to go stake it out, but was intercepted on my way to the train station.
So, Carla, that's a very interesting story. Would you like to tell us some of your, like if this was a dating profile, some of your likes, your dislikes, maybe some groups you're a part of?
Yeah, of course. I'm really proud of my three organizations, specifically the Juggling Squad, my Scientology group. We have a lot of fun over there. Can't really tell you, though, too much about it. And my Fortnite after school program. Yeah. My allies do consist of marijuana, other Scientologists, obviously, film majors, Addison Ray, Hammy, my dog Hamilton, Brass Monkey, That Funky Monkey, Snooky, and Tequila. But my enemies do consist of goblins, Andrew Tate, Taylor Swift, The Corn Kid, Hemorrhoids.
Fuck the Corn Kid.
Pickles, Minnie Mouse. Fuck Minnie Mouse. Fractions, and also, ironically enough, Tequila.
If you couldn't tell, we did write these probably at like 1:30 a.m. After drinking quite a bit. So it all ties back in at some point or another. I think I don't remember much. Is there anything else about your character you'd like to share?
Oh yeah, sure. Other passions of mine. I love caging men and shoving things inside them. I'm also a big fan of cock and ball torture, CBT for short. I dabbled in medieval torture. I'm guillotined.
Such a cursed episode. We haven't even started the game, and it's already fucked.
Hey, I'm trying to open up here.
Sorry.
Yeah. I'm guillotine certified, part-time executioner. I'm an online. I'm ordained. Just got certified. I know.
Nice.
Big. I'm an avid speed dater, veteran juggler, avid shoplifter, and I'm very proud of this one. I organized my very own goblin fight club.
Wow, that's big. That's pretty big. Out there on the grind. Wow, Fox, it's nice to meet you.
Yeah, thanks. Thanks for having me.
Hope you survive the story. Danielle, now you are not just any old man. You are a lord, I've heard. Is that correct?
That would be correct. Yes.
Would you like to tell us about that story?
Sure. I come from the land of Delhi. I'm a halfling that started from humble beginnings on a rural farm on the outskirts of Delhi. One day, the goblins came and raided the farm. They took the entire winter crop harvest. Suddenly, my family's source of income and sustenance was gone. Next, I heard they pillaged the village, and I set out to seek my revenge. I set out with what little food we had left and a sack on my back. As a wizard from birth, I have had the power of magic instilled in me. I sought out to rightfully take back what was ours. It was a bloodbath, but I came out victorious. I safely returned on the horse that I stole as proof of my victory and what food I could retain. The village rejoiced to see that I was triumphant. A weeks-long celebration commenced. They were so grateful that they unanimously declared to refer to me as Lord Salami. After years of peace in our land, the goblins returned, and I once again was called back into action. So I made my way to their village when I was intercepted near the train station.
Well, that sounds eerily familiar. But Danielle, your character is so much more than that, I would assume, right? You have some enemies, some allies, maybe some other groups you're a part of. Can you tell us about those?
So my allies are Ross, specifically Ross. Evan, specifically Evan.
No, we're gonna cut the last names. We're not gonna dox your friends. That's terrible.
Who are these people?
Well, one of them is my professor, but it doesn't matter.
Her professor and her friends. Right now, I'm cutting the last names.
It doesn't matter. Udi's gluten-free bread, because it doesn't make me hurt.
That does. That ties into another aspect.
Okay, go back. Go back. Go back so I can read. Rum, which I'm currently drinking at the moment. Cutwater. Ooh. And forklift drivers.
Nice.
Cutwater, man.
You're an ally to forklift drivers
everywhere. I have a very long
everywhere.
List of enemies. So, all goblins, obviously.
Me too!
AccuWeather's 90-day forecast.
Okay.
CNN. Flat Earthers. True Crime Internet Sleuths.
You didn't put
Addison Rae. I'm gonna add Hailey Bieber to the list.
Okay.
Tony Vlachos.
Survivor fame?
Yep. I don't like him.
Good call.
Plus, he's a cop. Shouldn't you hate him, Charlie?
Well, ACAB, yes, but it's different. Yeah, ACAB is Tony.
UTIs. Gluten. Montana winter weather, especially after this weekend. Evangelical Christians. New York State Troopers.
Even that's surprising because you do come from the land of Delhi. Have you been to New York State?
I know why I put Listeria. Because Listeria is a common bacteria on like deli meat that like Listeria outbreaks. I was like, why is that there? And then it hit me that there was like a Listeria outbreak when we wrote it.
What about like mold? Like when your meat gets moldy?
Don't talk to me about my meat getting moldy, Carly.
Again, just like Carly, ironically, Cutwater, Jackie Kennedy, depression, and all men named Sam.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
That's a very good one.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell us, Lord Salami?
No, I am goblin phobic. I'm very
proud of it. That might be problematic. We may need to cut that.
But that's what we have in common.
Halfling supremacy.
That doesn't make it right. Just because two people are racist doesn't make racism okay. Like,
whatever. I don't know. PTSD is, I guess, something I have. And I'm also
I guess
scarce and resourceful with food. And I am gluten. Well, I'm not gluten intolerant. I have celiac.
Lord, but, you do or Lord Salami does?
Do what?
You do or Lord Salami does?
I guess both of us.
Okay.
All right. You guys are so similar. It's weird.
That makes a lot of sense, actually, now that you mention it like that. So, thanks. But those are our players in this game that we call life. But if you noticed in their stories, I mean, it was really weird. They both ended up in the same, getting intercepted on the way to the train station here or there, just one way or another. So that's kind of where the story takes place, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to get right into it. Are you ready for it?
Wait, I forgot to mention I'm a high elf.
You are a high elf. Danielle, you said you were a wizard, or Lord Salami, I should say. You said you were a wizard.
I'm a wizard.
Yeah, we'll go with that. So we have a male wizard, Lord Salami, as well as female high elf, Dominatrix Fox. It's a very interesting group. You wouldn't expect really to see them just rolling together. But, you know, nothing brings people together like goblin hate.
You know what would be funny to add to the lore?
It's not too late to add. You can add whatever you want now.
Can I be past client of Fox? What?
Oh, can we do Tucker Carlson?
What? Jesus Christ.
Yes, I don't know. Salami,
you can be a past. Yeah, I mean, if you want it to be.
Carly, is it canon?
Huh?
Is it canon that she was Lord Salami was a past client of yours?
Oh, sure. We'll go with it.
Okay. Well, now that we have all of our, I guess, yeah, it's like a doctor. What is it? Client, patient, confidentiality? Yeah. But let's get right into it. Are you ready for this, ladies and gentlemen? So, the story starts. You're both intercepted, and once you get, you kind of get like, you run up behind, right? Like they just grab you, and then you black out. You don't remember anything from then on out. From then on until you wake up, and both of you awake at the same time. You're kind of lying on a cold, dark wooden floor. You look around. You wake up. You realize you're on the back of a speeding train. You barely recognize each other because you're both just waking up from being passed out. You're looking around, feeling what you have on you, see if you have like any weapons or stuff, any bags. You both have your bags with you, but inside your pocket, you each find half of a torn note. You realize they're two halves of the same note, so you put them together. And the note says, "Come and find me when you wake up." It has an address at the bottom and is signed by the mysterious C. The address on the letter is the top floor of the Drisco building. And obviously neither of you know where that is. So, I now have set the scene. I turn it over to you. Would you like to roll me a D24 perception, which is a wisdom check?
Okay. I'm pretty sure C is Charlie.
You don't know that.
13.
Can you... What'd you get, Carly? I mean, Fox?
13.
Salami, Fox, you got... Please.
I got 19.
Oh, Lord Salami got a 20 overall. So... You look around the train car, right? You see blood stains are everywhere, and you start to think what happened, like what caused this whole event to go down, right? Like, were we attacked? Were we stabbed? Were we, like, why did they let us live? Of course, you're questioning what happened. You notice that the train has come to a stop since you started looking around, and over the loudspeaker you hear, "Welcome everybody to the Crystal City. This train is sponsored by the Drisco Corporation, giving you a better tomorrow." Both of you decide to walk over to the cabin of the door because obviously there is only one way off the train. You walk up to the door and you try to open it. You see that it's like it's kind of stuck, right? So you force the door open, and on the other side of it, you find a body with multiple bullet wounds, and it's blocking the door. You know, you push the body aside and you start checking it out. Both of you are thinking to yourselves, "What fought?" And fought its way to get to us, or what was this man trying to keep out? As you exit the train, you look around, you see it's a dark, dingy cityscape. The cold air kind of bites the tip of your nose. It's similar to like a brisk fall afternoon when you're walking through the city. You know what I mean? For all intents and purposes, this city is very similar to New York City, right? Just imagine New York City, except a lot more crime, a lot more violence, and a lot more like pollution, right? So it's New York City if New York City was more like Boston.
Oh, Newark, New Jersey.
Yeah, it's like Newark. Yeah.
Newark.
But you start to look around, you see all these different like neon signs, you see all these people. A lot of the people you don't really either recognize what race they are or like who they are. You just see a lot of anthropomorphic creatures rolling around the city. I'm going to need you guys to roll another d20 for perception.
It's wisdom?
Yes.
Rolling.
I got a 16.
Daniel
got a
2. Carly got a 2. Carly got a 2. Danielle saved
you. It's Fox. Fox and Salami.
Fox got a 2. Salami got a 17.
That's so bad.
Yes, that's very bad. Out of 22 is not great. But you're standing out there kind of a little cold. You think maybe we got to get inside somewhere. You start looking around this city. You see a lot of different neon signs in a language that neither of you really understand. You notice like lots of people standing around outside these buildings. You see an actual woman or a person wearing a big trench coat with a big bowler hat standing by an alley. You see a man on the corner playing I don't even know what it's called. It's like a one-man band type thing. And you see a big neon sign that you're able to understand that says bar with a bunch of people standing outside. And now the option's up to you. Right. You guys can decide where would you like to go, talk it over with yourselves. In character, of course.
Bar.
I vote bar.
You both vote bar? All right, so yeah. The two of you, slowly and cautiously, because again, you're in a city you don't know much about. You look both ways when you cross the street, thankfully, as a big bus comes whipping down, narrowly taking off Salami's head, but Salami lunges backwards just at the safe time. You decide to walk into the bar. You see the big neon sign, you get right up to the entrance. It's like a one-story stairs downward. So you walk down the flight of stairs into this dark, decrepit, dungy basement. In this dimly lit area, you're able to see a lot of different creatures, different races. It's kind of like the cantina from Star Wars for those.
I was about to say
the bar from the SpongeBob movie.
Yes, also like that.
Okay.
You hear a lot of, again, you see a lot of different races, you see a lot of different types of people. You hear a lot of different languages that, again, neither of you understand. But you end up squeezing your way towards the bar with the intention of learning a little bit more about the city, probably buying a drink, whatever, wherever the night takes you. But behind the bar, you see a 6'2" sea orc standing in a kiddie pool just so he can keep staying wet. And he introduces himself as Finn, and he says, hello, welcome to the Trackside Bar. We don't see many new faces around here, so the first drink's on me. What are you guys looking for? Drinks or just some help getting around?
Shamu's so chill for that.
So now it's up. Now, what would you guys like to ask Finn?
Well, can we not
do drinks? I want drinks.
I kind of want a drink.
Yeah, you can do whatever you want.
Do we have to order whatever we want?
So at
this point, I want a dirty Shirley.
At this point, I am Finn, okay? So you talk to me as if I am the character, okay?
Oh,
what would you recommend to drink?
Pull a brewski, Shamu.
You're gonna listen. We may be a gross, disgusting city like Newark, but we have respect. My name's Finn. I'm the bartender here. I demand your respect, or else I'm gonna have to ask you to leave, little lady.
Okay, that's Shamu. Finn.
Come on. So, what would you guys like to drink? We got everything under the menu. We got beer. We got mixed drinks. We even got something that I like to call the Finn Special.
Whoa.
What's the Finn Special?
I didn't even know you offered that here. I'll have the Finn Special. Please and thank you.
Listen, it's an old family secret. I can't tell you everything, because if I did, then you'd run me out of business. So, if you want the Finn Special, you just gotta take it.
Give it to me.
I'll take 2, actually.
Finn reaches behind the bar, pulls out these two massive grogs, and he slams them down onto the table. He then takes out a small, like, you know, like the big, like a stein. Sorry, that's the word I was looking for. He plants these two wooden steins down on the table. And he takes the first one, pours it halfway with beer, grabs the second one, fills it halfway with beer. He pulls out from behind his shirt this small little vial, pops the cap off, drops four drips in each cup, puts it back away. He then slides both steins over to you and he says, "Us sea orcs know a thing or two about drinking. This may or may not be the greatest thing you've ever had in your entire life. The first one's on me, but the next six you'll want, you gotta pay for."
Are you getting roofied?
No, you're not getting roofied. He's a nice man.
Aren't you Finn?
Yes, I am Finn.
Are you talking about yourself in the
now? Why would I, now? Why would I roofie you? I don't know you. I'm hoping you buy drinks after this. I'm not gonna roofie a customer. I'm not gonna roofie a paying customer.
Right.
Do you want the drinks or no? He says as he slowly reaches over to pull them back.
Shit, I'm about to drink them. Give me.
Finn slides them back over across the table and says, "Enjoy, ladies. Can I help you out with anything else today?"
Ladies.
Well, you know. Salami. Lady. Yeah, salami. I apologize, salami. You are a shorter salami. Man.
Don't you're misgender, a my
feminine
friend.
Passing salami.
I keep forgetting that I'm male. Yeah. Honestly.
I was more offended.
I hope you got you gentlemen and lady enjoy the drinks. Is there anything else I can help you out with learning about this fair city? Anything I can tell you guys.
Do you know our next quest?
You gotta think back to the note. Remember the note?
The note.
What was on the note again?
Oh, Lord.
Oh, no.
The note, when you put it together, it said, "Come and find me when you wake up." And it had an address on it. The address was the top floor of the Drisco building. The top floor was the Drisco building. All
right. Do you know where the Drisco building is?
Oh, you're trying to get to the Drisco building, I see. Now, why the hell would you want to go there? Those rotten scoundrels are just trying to modernize everything and stealing it away from us poor folk down here. They started out as an electric company. Then, as soon as the big boom happened, everything turned to electric and the Drisco Corps took over. I'm sure if you guys came in by train, you heard about that on the train as well.
I did not hear about that on the train.
He's got to be like Comcast or something. Jeff Bezos.
But if you are looking to get to the Drisco Corps building, I do not know why, but it is right down the street. But I wouldn't recommend going in empty-handed, as many a man have walked in there and many a man have not walked out alive.
You have to be armed, is what you're saying, Finn?
I don't...
Can you join us?
Armed is one thing, but maybe search around more for some more helpful more helpful people around this fair town.
Do you recommend pointing us to anyone in specific?
Yeah. Do you know anybody?
Foremost? The orcas?
There's this small, creepy-looking person standing by the alley. I used to work with them fondly. But I would highly recommend seeing them before you embark on your epic quest.
Sir.
All right.
Well, if there's anything... how did you like the Finn special?
Feel a little woozy, I can't lie.
All right. I'm going to have to ask you two to leave, please. this is a classy establishment. I can't have two hooligans here ruining the vibes. So I'm going to have to ask you two to leave, please.
Understood.
As Salami and Fox start to walk out of the bar, when they get to the steps of the bottom of the steps leading out, they overhear a conversation. There's an orcish. I don't know if it's orcish. There's an orc couple sitting there, and you overhear them. The woman says, "Noah, what do you mean this strange lady came up to you and offered you stuff?" And the male responds, "Lexi, I'm telling you exactly what happened. She was wearing a trench coat and walked out from an alley. She came up to me, asked if I was new and needed supplies to survive the city. If I was cheating, why would I make up this elaborate story?" You continue to hear them argue as you decide to leave before anything else kicks off. So now you're back outside the bar. The other two options, of course, were to see the one-man band playing music down the street on the corner, or head to that mysterious creature figure in the alley.
I want to see the alley figure.
Oh.
I don't know if I do. Can I disagree?
I mean, you can.
In case we disagree. Can I want to see the one-man band.
Well, you could see both, eventually.
Oh, I can?
Yeah.
Start with the one-man band?
Sure. You guys have to agree. You guys got to agree.
Just don't think the alley man is safe. Figure. Like, it's a trap.
Either it is or it isn't. Only one way to find out.
Like, what are the consequences? Will we die?
Not this early. Eventually, maybe.
Fuck it. Let's go in the alley.
You going to the alley?
Yeah.
Because Lexi and Noah said so, or suggested it.
So you walk up to this, you see the creepy figure standing in the alley, face shrouded from all sides with a big hooded cloak. You see two bright eyes peeking out from, you see two bright eyes peeking out from behind the fabric. And you decide, what's the worst that could happen? You decide to walk over to her. As you get closer, you start to see more light on the figure itself. You notice that it's actually a female half-elf with a very scary look on her face. She doesn't say anything to you. She just puts her hand up to you and beckons you to come deeper in the alley as she walks into the alley.
She wants
Do you guys follow her?
Yes.
Yes.
Oh. It's a high elf like me.
Yeah.
Trust that bitch.
You walk behind her, and when it gets to the end of the dark alleyway, she points towards a doorway, doesn't say a thing, and forces you two to walk through first. As you walk through the doorway, you find this nice big open room with plenty of cots. It's got fire going, and there's a chef preparing food. Don't show me that, Carla, or Fox.
Why?
Goodness. Because it's an audio podcast. What's the point of that? But
I just want to make you chuckle.
And you find this big open room. It almost kind of looks like a safe haven of some sort. You turn around. You turn around after looking at this wide open room, and you see that the half elf has taken the cloak off and is standing there. She says to you, "Hi, my name's Jenny, and you stragglers look like you're in need of some assistance. So, can I offer you guys anything to eat? Anything, just some supplies to help you through the city? Would you like to stay the night?"
I'm a little bit hungry.
Yeah, give me something to munch on.
We've got the finest straggler meal for you guys. We actually have a meat stew, and two slices of white bread.
Yes,
I'll have the stew, not the bread.
Can we toast my bread?
Of course.
My friend here has celiac, so we would
actually. I'll take the bread, and then I'll give it to Fox.
Oh wow! Listen,
four slices of bread.
The poor helping the poor. There's nothing that warms my half elfin heart more than that. She walks you in. She sits you down on a little table across from you. You see two people who are terrified, scared, look famished. They just barely look up at you every once in a while, make glances, and don't say a single thing. Jenny walks back with two big bowls of heaping, two heaping bowls of meat stew all the random meats. You got the veggies in there, and then a plate of white bread. She puts it down for you, and she sits across the table from you guys after shooing away the other people sitting there. And she asks you, What are you guys doing here? Why did you choose to come here? You don't look like you have money. You don't look like you're here on a vacation. So why?
We be honest. Lie.
You get to pick. This is your choice, guys. It's the freedom of Dungeons and Dragons.
I think we say we're in a traveling show. We're in a traveling show. But we have to first. Yeah, we have to first meet with this dude in a building because he wants our services.
Oh,
I'm used to this. Okay, I had a pimp. I get it.
So you said you're a travel. What act? What kind of act do you guys do?
Clowns. Well, I juggle.
Oh,
told you, I juggle.
Wow.
Yeah.
So could you put on a little show for us? Jenny says as she hands you three apples.
Oh yes, I'm in the juggling squad. I hope you know that. I learned it from my Scientology friends. I'm quite good.
Carly, can you give me a dexterity roll?
That wisdom or no?
That's dexterity.
I see it. Rolling. 18.
18?
Yes.
Oh. So Carly takes the apples in hand. She starts throwing them up in the air, almost hitting the ceiling, which is about 10, 15 feet up there. And she's throwing them up. She's juggling them like the best. And she ends up shouting out to Salami and says, "Salami, now to do what we practiced." And Salami throws in another apple. Now she's got four and she's going. She's juggling. She's mastering it. She throws one up, does a 360, catches it, and keeps going. Ooh. Jenny's sitting there, astonished. Well, you do a flip? Okay, do me another dexterity roll. Do me another dexterity roll.
Shit. Okay. 18.
18?
Yes.
Carly goes. She's juggling. She throws one up. She goes to plant on the bench. She goes to do a backflip. She misses about halfway through, lands flat on her stomach, and breaks through one of the tables.
I thought 18 was good. I got that. It's okay.
Jenny's sitting there, rushes over. Oh my god, oh my god, that was incredible. Are you okay? Like, was that part of the act?
It definitely was. I totally meant to do that. Oh, just went off my back.
Goodness.
I heard of the death drop. Same thing as the death drop, but front.
That was incredible. I know you guys you guys got stuff to do. You're meeting with whoever you're meeting with. But we'd love to have you come back and perform here anytime you're available. I saw you guys, you have a backpack, but there's like nothing in your backpack. Do you guys need some extra supplies or anything?
Yeah, but we are traveling light.
Okay. We actually have these I don't want to say straggler kits, but we have these kits to give to people when they don't really have anything. She hands you two paper bags. Each bag has two little glass potion bottles full of ale, two sandwiches, and 5 gold each. Listen, you guys, I understand you got business going on in the city. You got to meet with whoever you got to meet with. But if you need a place to stay for the night, you're more than welcome to stay here. After that stunt you put on, that was incredible. So you're more than welcome to stay here as long as you'd like.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate it.
Would you guys like to stay the night?
Yeah, of course.
Oh,
down for that?
You sleep butt to butt on a double mattress.
I'm married.
There's gotta be tension between
us. That's what I'm saying.
Too,
it's butt to butt. Well, yeah, she was. You were her past client.
Her past partner. So. Yeah.
Well, hold on.
It was transactional.
Hold on. You're sitting. You're sleeping butt to butt, right?
Business.
You're sleeping butt to butt on this dingy, like broken mattress. You have a small blanket to share, and it's gotten a little cold again because it's like the middle of fall in this what I forgot what the city was called.
Bangladesh. No, it's New.
It's not Bangladesh. It's the Crystal City. It's not Bangladesh.
It was first thing I thought of.
But you're sleeping butt to butt. You get a little cold. Lord Salami turns around in the middle of the night, looks Fox in the eyes, and says, "I think I know you from somewhere." You guys connect the dots, and you realize that you were once business partners, I guess you could say. I don't know what the...
It's like the menu.
Clientele. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
You
were the one that liked cock and ball torture. I remember you.
And you start to... You don't say anything to each other. You just kind of both connect the dots to yourselves. And you think to yourselves, why are we both here? There has to be some reason, right? But the morning comes. You wake up. Jenny, thanks you again. Guys, that was an incredible show. We've never gotten entertainment like that here. It was amazing. I just want to say thank you so much again. It was beautiful. Please stop by again when you're on your way out. It was so nice to see you. And so send you guys on your way. You walk out back onto the street, and although it's a completely different day, in the same exact spot, on the same exact corner, you hear the one man band playing music again.
I want to talk about one man band.
You want to go to the one man band?
Yeah. So
you decide to walk up. This one man band, like the street performers in New York, has this circle around him, right? And he's playing his music. He's like a comedian, clown, jester type character. And he's just playing as he's like got the with the cymbals and he's like his accordion thing. And he's playing these songs. And then you hear some of the lyrics. There were two squirrels up in a tree. And one said to the other, "Pass the legumes." And as he's singing it, he cracks up. Everyone around him remains completely silent. And he kind of finishes the song, and like he's you know, and like he finishes, he plays the last cymbal, he's like, and everyone around him just doesn't say anything. They just start walking away, right? But as everyone's walking away, you hear him say, he's like, thank you everyone for your kind donations. I'm Uncle Fun, and I'll be here all week, not because I want to, but I have nowhere else to go. And you, as so you walk real. Up to him to talk to him, you see his little his donation bucket is just still completely empty. And as you get close enough to like comfortably start a conversation, he looks up at you guys and says, "Oh, hello there. What can I get you, fine folks? Perhaps an autograph?"
Yes, that might be worth big
I'll
bucks.
Take one, sure.
Can I get one for my family at home?
He whips out. He whips out these 8x10 pictures, like headshot pictures, and he signs them both and he hands them to you. He's like, "Thank you guys. Donations aren't required, but they're strongly encouraged." And he sits there waiting for you to say something. You do with his mouth open, like, "Eh?"
Be on the way back. I'm empty handed right now. You take Venmo?
That's okay. We know what is Venmo? We don't use electricity down in these parts. Or at least we try not to as much. What do you mean? What
That's
do I mean?
Our side.
Yeah, we try to use it as little as possible. Do you know why we try to use it as little as possible?
Why?
Do you know who runs the electricity corporation here?
This guy.
What?
This guy. What's his name? In the building.
Drisco?
Drisco,
of course, it's the Drisco Corporation. They want everything from us. They charge us hand over foot every month, and it's not even worth it. The power goes out more often than you would believe. The Crystal City used to be perfect. It used to be wonderful. You wonder why it was called the Crystal City? It initially was pure. Think of the finest open fields your mind can imagine. Think of animals running around. Think of just beauty. As far as the eye can see. And then in came the corporations and the capitalists, and they ruined everything. They made it all too industrial, and now the Crystal City is no more.
Do you know anything else about the Drisco?
Do I know anything else about the Drisco?
Personal info. Who is he?
Uncle Fun goes, He thinks he scratches his chinny chin chin a little bit, and he goes, and he says, "Every man has their price. I'm not asking for a lot, but maybe a tip might jog my memory.
I'll give you a coin."
Carly drops one golden coin into his donation tin, and it goes, bling. He's like, "I can eat again tonight, thank goodness." And he then looks, and he turns completely around, and he points up to the skyline. He says, "You see that damn building? You see that god dang building? That's the Drisco Corporation building. That's where you're going to want to go if you need anything to do with those scumbags."
"We need anything?"
"Yeah. Listen, I'm just a lowly one-man band. I don't have all that fancy educations that some of y'all might have."
"Is there anyone you recommend we see or go before we meet this Driscoll fuck?
I spent my fair share. I hear, as the local idiot, I hear my fair share about these towns and these parts. The only things I could think of is the nicest man in the entire city is the bartender over at, I think it's the Trackside now. That old Sea Orc fella, he stands in that bathtub so he doesn't get it. He doesn't lose his water. It's a very weird situation he's got going, but you know, his drinks are to die for. The only other person I could think of, I've heard these rumors of these this outreach center that helps people, but I've never seen it. I'm the lowliest of them all, and I've never seen no help. You think I could use a help? I'm out here playing my one-man band 12 hours a day, and I get barely enough to eat. I got instruments to keep up. How am I going to afford to keep up my instruments? I'm spitting comedy gold, and I have no money because these idiots don't donate. And that's where I'm at. Thank you for asking. Is there anything else?
Didn't ask what?
Is there anything else I can help you about?
Salami, you got anything?
Is there any supplies that you would recommend we bring?
I don't know, but all these... This city's so run to shit that you can look anywhere and there might be something. So, always just look. It's the only type of hint I could recommend. But now that I'm thinking about it, I did overhear something. Did you two come from the train station?
Yes.
Oh, no. I was put on a mission here today.
What was it?
I don't know who put me up to it. The only name I was given was the Mysterious Sea. He told me to write back to the return address he had on that letter whenever this group arrives. He said I would know him when I saw him, and I'm starting to think that is you.
Who's Sea? You don't know?
I have Mysterious? No idea. I don't know why the accent keeps changing.
I know. What does C want with us?
Again, I have no idea, but as I said, I'm the man who hears it all. I'm the village idiot. So it's one of those things where I know when people come, I know when people leave. When anyone needs information, they come to me. So it's not out of the ordinary that I get hit with these tasks. But listen, you two have been lovely company. If there's anything else I can help you with, I would love to. But I've got more one-man banding to do because one gold coin is not going to pay for dinner tonight. So I got to keep going. It's been real nice talking to you ladies, he says as he walks, or lady and gentleman, as he says as he walks away and starts going back on with his terrible, terrible jokes. But now...
Like that guy.
You've seen all you have to see in the main city. Now all you have left is the note. You know where the building is, you know where all that is.
Didn't you say we could explore?
Yeah, you can. You can look around.
But like would we find anything? Explore?
Not at this opportunity.
Oh, okay. So to the building we go, I guess.
You wanna go to the building?
No. Okay. Yeah.
So, obviously, you've done all you can in the main hub, right? So you're like, let's get to the Driscoll Core. You decide to explore a little further in the city. You look in the air in the direction that Uncle Fun pointed you at, and you see this big, large building with an orange hue radiating from it, like an orange neon sign, kind of. But in the far distance, as you start to walk that way, you hear something from a side alley. You hear it and you look around, you're like, what the hell was that? And then you hear it again.
Can you please repeat that? What was that? Oh my god, I thought you played something.
And as you look around, you look into this small little opening in the wall, and this little black kitten comes around. And he just starts looking up at you guys, and he just starts nuzzling up against your leg, licking you.
Cat's name Dink?
No. Why?
What's the one you like?
Is it Jinx?
Jinx. No, it's not Jinx. It's just Jinx. A black cat.
Oh.
You can take him. You can just walk away. It's up to you.
Take.
You want to take the cat?
Yeah, we're taking the cat.
Of course, of course. No, I knew that was asked. The answer. You guys decide to bring the cat along with you, right? Salami takes him, picks him up, throws him on his shoulder, and is just walking along. Your little kitten's there. What are you going to name?
Jinx.
Jinx?
Jinx? Or we could do Gigi.
Why?
That's a good. That's from Gigi's a movie you haven't seen.
A black
seen.
Cat from Studio Ghibli movie.
Oh, yeah. No, that makes sense.
Jinx works though. Maybe we should just go with Jinx.
Going with Jinx?
Yeah.
I do like that suggestion though. I never knew their name. Or I forgot.
Throw Jinx up on Salami's shoulder.
I'm good with either.
I like Jinx.
Throw Jinx up on Salami's shoulder and you keep walking. You see, again, as you get closer to this massive, massive building, you see in these large block letters going down the side of it, Jurisco Core. And as you get close enough to get towards the front of the building, you see these two armed security guards. They're 2 7-foot-6 orcs that are just standing at the door. They have these big gold-plated armors, and they each have a broadsword. And you see them standing guard as people enter the building. And Now, what would you like to do? I mean,
talk to them.
You want to talk to them?
I don't know.
You can. You don't even. I mean, you can just walk right by them if you want. No. They're just standing there.
Oh.
I don't know.
They're like, yeah. You know when you walk into like a bank and you see like a security guard?
Yeah.
Yeah. Maybe just walk right by them then.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. They'll probably yell at us. But let's see what happens.
So as you decide, just, you know, they're security guards. They'll only really do anything if they need to, right? So you just walk right by them. And as you go to step foot in the building, the guards... They have their swords standing on each side of the door. They slam them down and just cut, it almost chops off Fox's head.
Whoa!
She jumps back in time, and Jinx is standing there, just eyes wide open on Salami's shoulder. Still,
the eyes would be wide open.
The guard on the left leans down to you. See, 7'6". And you guys are like 4 feet. He leans down. To your level and looks at you with a really angry frown. He's really, really mad. And he asks you, he asks you, who are you here to see? And before you can even finish the sentence, a young elf pushes her way through the two of the guards. And she's like, guys, we've been over this. I was hired here for a reason at reception. So can you stop trying to take my job? She looks over at you two and smiles and says, if you two would just follow me, please. She says as she walks past the security guards and ushers you into the lobby. So as she's ushering you to the reception desk, you walk through past the security guards and you walk through the lobby of this beautiful building. It's a really, really clean area made entirely out of marble, glass walls. It's got fine like plants and stuff. And there are multiple different waiting areas around the lobby. You see different races, all dressed in like fine suits, right? And you're about halfway through the long lobby, and a really tall, almost robotic-looking creature, dressed in a full suit, walks up in front of Fox and says, "Oh my goodness, it's been so long!" He leans in and goes to give you a hug, and he says, he whispers in your ear, "I know you don't know me, but you must come with me. I have information that you need to know about."
Yes, sir.
So you guys go with him?
Yes, yeah. It's good seeing you again, bro.
He gives you a big hug, and he takes a quick right away into a different waiting room. As soon as you get out of sight of the reception desk, he talks to you both, and he says, I'm so sorry. There was no other way to do that. I mean, I'm a Warforged. You might not know what that means. I'm like a robot, like kind of. It's magic. It doesn't matter. My name is... I don't really have a name. Again, I'm a robot. The serial code I was given was ERK42.
I knew it was gonna be Earth. I fucking knew it. That's why I said bro.
And he's like, he goes on to tell you this story. He's like, I mean, it wasn't my fault. I'm a robot. I can't really like choose what I want to do, but I don't know who put me up to it. I think it might have been this person named the Mysterious Sea. I was one of the people who was on that train with you and got you on that train.
Oh.
That's not good, is it? I mean, I guess they're a robot. They're probably someone controlled them, right?
Excuse me, I mean, who do you, what do you mean they? What do you mean they? Like, I'm right here. You're talking to me. What do you mean they?
Oh, I'm talking my side window to my partner Salami here. How else am I supposed to communicate with my buddy?
I don't know. I actually don't know. Yeah. That's a good point.
Right? You can just assume when I'm talking to you.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I owe you guys my sincerest apologies. Do you have anything else? Like, do you have any questions? I mean, I want to make anything as clear for you before you maybe, I don't know, step into something you probably shouldn't.
Why are we doing this?
One question at a time, please.
Are we in danger?
I don't know. I mean, I would assume all I was told was to get you on that train and guard that door with my life. I came to about halfway through. I didn't know what I was doing, but I knew I had to get you out of there. And I was one of three security guards. I tried to fight to get you out. It was a bloody, bloody battle, and I ended up killing one guy before I got knocked off the train and had to walk my way here to the Driscoll building. So I don't know much other than the fact that I got you on that train, and I felt like obligated to give you examples and explain why I did it. I don't know why I did it, but I'm trying to rationalize it to myself.
So you don't know why we're doing this?
I don't know why I did it. Why?
Are you lying to us right now?
Why would I go through all this way and lie to you? Look what I've been through. Look what I've been through, he says as he opens up his button-down shirt and you see multiple stab wounds in his chest. And he said, I was a human, this would kill me. Because I'm a Warforged, I'm fine-ish. I'm on my way out. I have not... I'm done either way, but I decided I owe it to you. I'm trying to help you here.
This has got to be a robot that the Driscoll company made. This robot sounds really incompetent.
It's sussy as hell.
That's very hurtful. I'm trying to help you. This is very hurtful. Lobby.
This sounds like a trap. Listen, why? Listen, why are listen, we not listen, the
listen,
fuck out?
Listen, listen, listen.
And then
shut
put
up.
On train
listen,
by
I'm
a
trying to help
robot.
You. I'm trying. Can I help you, or do you not
want
to help?
And if they could just help. Take you over at any point, what's to say they wouldn't do it right now and hack us?
Do you want the help, or do you not want the help?
Yeah,
we want the help, but it sounds like a setup.
Listen, I know the letter told you to meet at the top floor of the Driscoll building. Going up the main elevator is a trap. That's the only thing I was told. And as soon as you get up there, I was not told what would happen to you. I know this building. I've been in this building before. The only other way to that top floor is through a service elevator that I think there's like a job interview that might be happening. I don't know. And on that, I know on the floor where they do the interviews, the HR floor, that's the access to the service elevator. That's all I know. That's all I have. I have to go before anything else happens.
Main elevator bad, service elevator good?
Yes. Job interview. I have to go, he says as he storms off. As you see him.
Robot has a job interview.
You see him running back towards the entrance, past those two orc guards. And as you turn to walk back towards the reception desk, to where you were supposed to go, you hear two large slams. Bam! Bam! And you turn back and look, and you realize the guard chopped off Urk 42's head and then cut him in half. And you hear the same guard. You hear the same guard that talked to you say in that same voice, "Let this be a warning to any that oppose Driscoll Corp."
Damn.
Crazy. The robot was opposing the Driscoll Corp?
I don't know.
Yeah, so that means he was telling the truth. He was helping us.
And now you guys continue your walk back to the reception desk. In order to not meet a similar fate to Urk 42, you decide to head quickly again towards the reception desk.
I know.
Jinx. Is Jinx okay?
Jinx is with you. Jinx is okay. Jinx is still on Salami's shoulder. You walk over to the desk and you see an elven receptionist. She actually waves you over and she says, "She's like, oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't see where you went. I just assumed you would find me eventually. My name's Abby. How can I help you guys?
I knew that was Abby too.
Are you here like for the interview, or do you just need some different information?
Interview.
We need some information.
You need information or the interview?
Information.
But those are two options. Were we supposed to do the interview? I don't remember. Salami, I'm asking you.
I don't remember either.
I'm drinking, man.
By Charlie's reaction, I guess we are here for the interview.
I thought we were.
Don't say that. What are you here for? No. I can give you some more information about the Driscoll Corps. Give us a little information about the city.
Listen, Abby, please, give us a minute. I'm pretty sure what was said, because there was a lot of words there. I only got a few. The interview, I thought, was like his advice. He was saying, go with the interview and say that's what you're here for.
I think you're right. I'm sorry. I was listening, but I zoned out.
So I also did a little.
Okay, we're here for the interview.
Interview, please.
Can you both roll me a intelligence check, please?
Definitely need that.
Or I'm hella smart.
I got a 14.
Oh.
I did too.
Oh.
Oh, let's go.
That good?
Yeah. So I mean, we're just hiring a new member for the mailroom, of course, but the position is actually only open for one person.
We work together.
We didn't anticipate hiring two people for the mailroom position. I can give you guys an application if you'd like, and you can still just go up to the HR department and see if you still would qualify for the interview, if that's all right.
Okay.
So Abby hands you the clipboard, two clipboards, one for each of you with a pen. She says, you guys can go sit over there, fill out the paperwork, and just as soon as you're finished, head to the elevator, go up to the 20th floor, and that's our HR department. They should be able to help you out. So you take the paper or the clipboards, you walk back over to your seats, and you start to fill out the paperwork.
Scribble, scribble, scribble.
This is also audio. They can't see what either of you did.
That's so you why finish I your said paperwork. Scribble, scribble,
I scribble out the form.
You finish your paperwork.
Also
now
filled
what?
Out the form.
Now what?
You go to the 20th floor.
You hand it back to Abby.
No, you go to the 20th floor. Oh. God,
that's what I said.
Carly, Fox was right. So you guys head up to the elevator. You go up to the 20th floor and you get out and elevator doors open. You walk out into the hallway. You take a left towards the HR department, following the signs, of course, because this is a professional office building. Everything's laid out for you.
I have a question.
Sure.
Did we take the service elevator or the
regular? No, you took the main elevator to the 20th floor. It's a 79-80 floor building. You're fine. And then as you get into the HR department, you notice this strapping young lad, a weirdly tall dragonborn, right? Dragonborn, for those that don't know, is like a half dragon creature. In a snazzy
of course,
gray
that's common
suit.
Knowledge.
Yeah, of course. He's in a snazzy gray suit, and he's wearing or he has a name tag, and on the name tag it says Joey. Joey perks up.
I'm like guessing all of these
as soon as he notices you guys walk over, and he's like, ah, how you guys doing? Can I help you guys with anything?
What was his position again? He was just in a suit, we didn't know.
He was the what is it? When you're just at the desk, the receptionist. He's the receptionist of HR.
Ah, okay. Hey, we want an interview. Mailroom.
The mailroom interview. I'm just gonna need you guys to sit over here. We got like three or four people in front of you. Interview shouldn't take more than 5-10 minutes. I think I'm not supposed to tell you guys the question, but I think the questions are like, can you sort mail? Can you read? Totally. And I think that's it. So if that's yes, then this might be the job for you guys. But if you need anything, the bathroom is just back to the left. If you do go back there, don't worry about any of the noise. We're actually having some just work done on the building, and the security elevator's back there, and or the service elevator's back there, and a lot of the stuff is happening next to the elevator.
Back where? Back where?
So if it's just near the bathroom, if you're going to go to the bathroom's out to the left, just you can't miss it. But just don't worry about the noise. It's very normal for this. So if I can get you guys anything else, just let me know.
Bathroom is next to the service elevator. I just want to be clear. Very directionally challenged.
Yeah, that's where a lot of the sound is happening in the room just right next to the service elevator. But the noise actually travels through the wall and out of like the elevator shaft. and it echoes in there, so it makes like this loud, really obnoxious noise. So you can't miss it. Just thought I'd warn you a little bit in case you hear something and start to panic like I did on my first day.
Thank you.
Yeah. After you both walk back to your seats, then what do?
You want to take a little stroll, Salami? Go to the service elevator? Or what?
Yeah, let's go to the service elevator.
Okay.
So you walk over to the service elevator, right? You're looking around. What do you guys do?
We just go up. Should we gather shit first? Can we look like behind the desk? I talk to these three people.
The other three people? Sure, if you really want to.
Well, it's not part of it.
It's not, but that's the beauty of Dungeons & Dragons. I'll make something up on the fly.
Okay. Mommy, do you want to talk to
people? There's two men and a woman.
Let's definitely talk to the woman.
Okay. The woman's name is Deandra. She's okay. Oddly tall, and she's a
she's a
human. She's just a human. It's very weird in the world of Dungeons and Dragons to just be a human, but
looks like a bird. Though.
A little bit. What do you want to ask her?
Here for the mail gig, or do you put you onto this?
Yeah, I lost my health insurance. It's actually, she has a very deep voice for a woman. I lost my health insurance. I have a family, man. I just gotta help my kids.
Mm.
Yeah.
Cool.
So I don't want to mess up this interview. If you guys could just leave me alone, that would be nice.
Hey, wait, real quick. You see anything weird around here?
It's just, the big noise coming from the service elevator. I don't know.
Right. Get confirmation on that.
Yeah. So,
All right. Good luck, D.
Yeah, thanks. You too. I hope you don't get it, because if I don't get it, my kid, I'll have to pay out of pocket for his surgery.
All right.
And
I don't need a fucking sob story. Good luck.
Okay. Bye. Bye. It was nice meeting you. I didn't even get your name, but it was nice meeting you.
Don't worry about it.
Okay.
Like the wind, not even there. All right, let's go to the service elevator.
And that is where episode 1 comes to an end. Will Lord Salami and Fox be able to find the story behind the mysterious note, as well as confront the mysterious sea? Stay tuned for the epic conclusion of the title-pending D&D story next week. It'll be an episode you do not want to miss.